904-777-4296. 904-77-SEAN. Sean Robinson Realty.
WSOL HD2 Brunswick. W272CQ Jacksonville. Sunny 102.3. Jacksonville's greatest hits.
Sunny 102.3. Sunny 102.3 presents The Gone Fishing Show with your host, Rick Hale and Joe Dion.
I tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
But there's a sign upon your door.
Gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing.
Gone fishing.
We gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back, and thank you for staying with us. This is Rick Hale. Guys, one of the joys, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, of being in the business of being on the water is Me and Joe are partners on this radio show, and we are also partners with the Fishing Connection. And I usually write the article on the front page, and so I have to do a lot of research during the month. And one of the great things that's happened, and it's really doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, you've got to love what Ron DeSantis has done in the month of January, his first month as a governor of the state of Florida. He's attacked, and I mean literally attacked, the problems facing the state, the whole state, not just down south, but down south has it worse than us, concerning the blue-green algae situation. And this, again, goes back to the discussion we got into about the population of the state of Florida. More and more people are developing land on the intercoastal, on the river. And then you also have Big Sugar putting in a lot of fertilizer on theirs. And Ron DeSantis, when he was running, was a very strong opponent of Big Sugar. Well, he just, I think last week I mentioned this, but he has now asked and received a resignation of all the members of the South Water Management District for the state of Florida. He felt like they were serving the big business and not the citizens of the state of Florida. Some of those that really maybe should have stayed, they're leaving anyway. They were getting ready to leave. And Ron DeSantis also has now signed an executive order, 1912, and this executive order is to attack and start studying the problems of the blue-green algae. Now, his goal is to not wait 10 years to...
Well, you never. What I wonder is, where you're going with that? Let me ask you a question. Since you got that in front of you, You know, I know in the last 10 or 15 years, from the research I've done, you know, like Big Sugar and a couple of those other companies, they've been hit with like several hundreds of millions of dollar fines and that kind of stuff. And it seemed like to me a lot of that money. I think it's like $700 million. I want to say in one number I saw, and apparently only like $2 million of that much money has actually been spent in like 15 years.
Yeah, there was a 10-year plan that DeSantis now has cut down to a 4-year plan, and he's has strong initiatives for getting this blue-green algae situation under control. A lot of it has to do. Well, let me tell you, make you a little bit of a basics. He's going to spend $2.5 billion over the next 4 years for the Everglades restoration.
A lot of restoration.
Right.
That's a lot of
you.
Money.
A big word.
And yeah, well, big wow. word for an old man, I guess. And protection of the water resources. He's going to establish a blue-green algae task force. He's instruct the South Florida Water Management District to immediately start the next phase of the Everglades area storage reservoir project design. The creation of the Office of Environmental Accountability and Transparency. And the appointment of a chief science officer to coordinate and prioritize scientific data.
I wonder if this has anything to do with what I saw from FWC, that they're suspending aquatic weed spraying in the state.
I don't know. I really don't know. I've got into a lot of digging into the Jacksonville problems as far as blue-green algae. I've got into a lot of the... dug into a lot of the information concerning this attack on it. Some of the pictures y'all had on your podcast website, which I couldn't find. I went there to look for it. It's unbelievable if you look down from an airplane or someone and see the filth that's going through the two rivers into the different oceans. It's just unbelievable.
You couldn't find them on the Backwater Hustlers?
Backwater Hustlers. I couldn't find them.
See if I can find it for you.
Okay. Well, I don't need them now because I wanted to put them into paper, but we couldn't get it. So they're going to spend a lot of money trying to clean up the state of Florida water. And, you know, a lot of the lakes also are dying from this blue-green algae. They also state as the boats go through it, it causes eye and lung irritation as the fumes go up into the air and you're riding your boat through. So there's a lot of health issues also associated with this. One of the pictures that's in the paper for February, you won't believe how thick the slime, blue-green slime is. Joe, you've seen it.
Yes.
Yeah. On the bulkheads and so on in different areas of the state of Florida. So we want to protect our waterways and our water quality for our children and our grandchildren. And I think that he has attacked it. I mean, when a person gets a pat on the back from the Sierra Club stating that DeSantis has done more in 1 week than Governor Scott did in 8 years, you know.
That's, he has.
He has. He's done more than Bill Nelson did. And
I mean, like the first few days, he went in and cleaned house.
Yeah.
And which needed to be done years ago.
So now, instead of people being lobbied by the big, powerful corporations of sugar, now they're going to be lobbied by the people of the state of Florida. And that's really has needed to be done. I mean, a lot of us, I make my living on the water. You're making your living, Joe, now. A lot of it's from the fishing and the newspaper and the radio show.
I do.
And you make your living on it.
Yes, sir.
So it's the water is very important to us, very, very important to us. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be asking, I'm hoping to get the Jacksonville Riverkeeper, because that was a very interesting research I did there. You know, guys, we always wondered, me and Joe, you never think about it. Where is the lower St. John's River Basin? Is it up that way or this way where we live?
No, this way. I think it's that way, yeah.
It's this way. You're right. We are the lower St. John's River Basin.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up a point asking me about the dredging that's going on down there by the boat ramp. And
they're still doing it.
Would the lower be because the river flows north?
No.
We looked that up. I forgot what the reason why. Why they call this the lower.
I would think the lower would be like the Orlando area.
That's what I would have thought, too, but it's not.
Yeah. That's the obvious.
The lower basin of the St. Charles River is the portion of the river that extends from Lake George to the river's mouth at Bayport.
Now, from all the way down there, is considered the lower.
You're correct.
Yeah. Gotcha. Uh-huh. And I'm like you, it's probably because we run north, you know?
Yeah. What do we know?
But reading her articles and reading her material, she's very anti the dredging. And I had to read it to really understand it. It's, again, I'm not a scientist by any stretch of imagination. I found out that the dredging causes stronger saltwater intrusion. Okay? And that saltwater intrusion builds the health of the algae. And also what happens is that our banks that have all the grass that filters the ocean, like Joe, you always talked about how the ocean can clean itself and how the river can clean itself if we allow it to do so. Well, the dredging brings in this salt water intrusion into the grass area and floods it.
And then
doesn't allow the grass area to do the cleaning.
Exactly right.
That is supposed to be doing. Filter.
And that's one of the major problems that homeowners especially have with the dredging that live on the water and near the water, like near Chicopee and those places, because of that reason right there. Okay. Like, that's one of the worst things for it.
It can do it. It's thing on a natural basis, but when you're physically adding stuff to it like that, it takes
it away.
Takes longer, too.
Or it takes a whole lot longer. Just like when you have an oil spill from a tanker. All right, that's going to take a little longer. It will eventually clean itself up. But when you have your natural oils, it cleans itself up automatically.
Right.
So the more you add to it, the longer it's going to take. Right. 904-962-296. Which number you want? You want my phone number? Let me give you my phone number. 296-2692. If there's any singles out there, give me a call. 296-2692. Y'all stand by. We'll be right back.
Thank you. For the finest soft plastic and topwater baits, use what the pros use, Down South Lures. If you're one of those skinny water anglers out there looking to boat some speckled trout or redfish, Down South Lures has you covered. Their Southern Shad line of soft plastic baits come in a variety of colors for clear and stained water use. Down South Lures is a family-owned and operated business that was inspired to make their own line of fishing lures because of their love for our coast and the great fishing that it offers. Get online now and visit DownSouthLures.com. That's DownSouthLures.com.
Hey, you want to boat some fish? Call Captain Don Taylor at Inshore Outdoors Fishing. He's a regular right here on the Gone Fishing Show, and boy, can he fish. From Nassau to St. Augustine, Captain Don has been hooking redfish, trout, flounder, sheepshead, tarpon, and snook for years. You'll be fishing with one of the best while using the latest rods and reels. Book your family-friendly charter today. Inshore Outdoors Fishing. If the fishing is tough, stay longer. If the fishing is great, stay all day. Call 318-9906. That's 318-9906. Online at InshoreOutdoorsFishing.com.
Do you have a boat? Then you need to know Shark Attack, a mobile marine service licensed and insured to install and repair marine generators, electronics, stereos, water and waste systems, as well as complete or partial rewires. Have a boat? Then you need to know a mobile marine technician that will come to your boat. Shark Attack does just that. Also offering consulting and pre-purchase inspections. Call 904-200-8709. That's 904-200-8709. And receive $50 off your first service call.
No matter how well-maintained your boat is, things can still happen. Props get sheared off, water pumps fail, and starters die. You need a reliable towing service. Join Towboat US. Low-cost options and reliable service. For just $149 a year, Towboat US provides you with unlimited towing on water breakdowns within their vast service area. And that's 24/7. The average tow is around $700. Towboat US membership is a clear alternative. Visit BoatUS.com and join today. Or give them a call at 249-4422. That's 249-4422.
Atlantic Coast Marine, the name to remember for Maverick, Hughes, Pathfinder, Canoe, and Sundance boats. We're also a full-line Yamaha dealer with the best prices on Yamaha engines. A winner of Yamaha's Best in Class 3 years running, Atlantic Coast Marine will get you set up with the right engine the first time. We offer a huge service facility performing everything from fiberglass repair to engine rebuilds. Atlantic Coast Marine, 13748 Atlantic Boulevard at the Intercoastal Waterway. Call 221-0793. That's 221-0793.
If you're a serious angler, you want to increase your casting distance and accuracy. You want to limit wind knots and bird nests. You want the new Wave Series rods from T. Allen Rods.
T. Allen Rod.
It's the first production rod in the world featuring a 100% carbon fiber rod mated with the microwave guide system. It's a revolutionary rod for serious anglers. The new Wave Series from T. Allen Rods. Built in America and available now at tallenrods.com. T. Allen Rods, the finest rods on earth.
Let's get back to some fishy business with the Gone Fishing Radio Show. Gone Fishing is brought to you in part by Rick's Bait and Tackle. Rick's Bait and Tackle, serving fishermen since Moby Dick was a minnow.
What did he just say?
If you want to join in on today's show, call 296-2692. That's 296-2692. And now, here's the host of the Gone Fishing Radio Show, Rick Hale and Joe Dionne.
Okay, thank you again for staying with us. I want to go ahead and... Guys, where is Deep Creek? Does any of y'all know where Deep Creek is exactly?
That hooks into Shad Creek.
Okay.
It's about a mile marker.
Wow, what's going on in Deep Creek?
It was there.
And tell you one thing, there's no fish in Deep Creek.
There is.
It's deep.
This might not be the same Deep Creek.
No, Rick, Deep Creek runs off of Sisters, I think around mile marker 82, I think.
Yeah,
this is off of State Road 207. So
That's St. Augustine then. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the one down there.
Yeah, there's a
Deep Creek. Oh, that Deep Creek.
There is no Deep Creek in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
Deep Creek. That's over near Devil's Elbow, kind of.
Yeah.
That's where that said they. Anyway, and here in Jacksonville, I'm trying to get the exact... okay. We have the Tri-County Agricultural Area, which is called the TCAA, located in Flagler, Putnam, and St. John's County. And it's all farmland, and it produces a lot of potatoes and cabbage. That's where we get a lot of our potatoes.
Be Hastings and Spud and
right.
All down that way.
And they do a lot of fertilizing, which also falls into the St. John's River.
Yep.
Okay. And so... They're trying to design right now two regional stormwater treatment areas to reduce the amount of phosphorus and nitrogen and suspended solids from flowing into the river. And so what they're doing is digging kind of like what they're talking about down in the Everglades are the what word am I trying to think of? The swamp area, the Everglades, the back section, the back sessions for retention of the pollutants and have it filtered out. They're doing the same basic thought pattern on this, digging areas that will filter the pollutants going into the water before it's released into the St. John's River.
You know, and all the pollutants, you got to remember, you know, look at all the lawn companies that are here in town and all throughout the state, all the golf courses, the pesticides, the fertilizers that are put down, all of it leaches down into groundwaters and things like that, which ultimately end up in the creeks and in the rivers.
Yeah, in her article, which somehow or another I'm not finding it, she stated that we do have a fertilizer law, basically, that's not being enforced.
Yeah.
And I can't really find the area, what the name of that law was. Anyway, it's due to all of us having so many homes now being built on the Anacostia
exactly.
and on the river. And then when they fertilized their yard, and it was also talking, Joe, about your area
mm-hmm.
that at one time was septic tanks on the river.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were flowing into the river.
Yep.
And they were old and
they used to flow straight into the river.
Uh-huh.
That was sort of like their drain field.
There we go. The investment by the district and its partners are the largest in the Lower St. John's history and include a citywide no net gain goal for septic tanks in Jacksonville and Duval County. And it improves access to river, an annual state of the river report. These are things that they're doing now, trying to clean up the St. John's River.
I remember years ago I've seen articles where, you know, they were like going down the river and looking for, you know, water that was coming off of properties into the river.
Yeah, the riverkeeper still has a patrol or volunteer patrol that's supposed to go and look for stuff and report it directly to her. Of course, you know, they're not supposed to take any action, but they're supposed to report it so a scientist or somebody of knowledge can go check it out. But if we want to keep fishing, I mean, we have probably one of the best fisheries in the state of Florida here in Duval County.
Without a doubt.
And if we want to keep it, we're going to have to take care of the water. We're going to have to work with, but you know, people are going to have to come together and work together, no matter what your
party affiliation is.
Whatever. We got to work together.
We're all fishermen.
That's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to save this river, to protect this river, Lisa and me have agreed on 90% of stuff whenever, I do follow her quite a bit.
Lisa.
Rodman.
Rodman. She's the river keeper.
I know.
And so there's 10% I still don't understand. I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying I don't understand the logic yet. And I look forward to having her here to talk about it. But I'm trying to find, I wish I could find, I can't find it, the information on the some of the stuff that we're not doing that we're supposed to be doing here in the state of Florida.
Such as, I mean, what are you talking about?
There's supposed to be some type of law that we can, supposed to be protecting.
I know I asked you this the other day, Rick, but so the dredging, Jeff, that we saw out there Saturday, is that routine or maintenance dredging? Or?
No, they're actually deepening the mouth of the river by two or three feet.
I didn't think that had passed yet where they were allowed to do that.
Now, if I remember correctly, which is, you told me that that's what they explained to you they were doing.
They're doing maintenance dredging, right? But see, you're not the only person that has just said what you told me. So I'm still.
I think it's.
I don't know if I'm getting a straight answer or not, you know, because I heard it was maintenance dredging, that's just regular routine maintenance.
I talked to some of the guys when they were coming off of one of the boats. I said, where do y'all go dump all this stuff? He said, way offshore. I go, so you're like making little reefs out there? And they wouldn't say where.
Yeah, see, bottom line, I just wasn't sure if it was maintenance dredging, or, like I know they're supposed to do, or else. That had already gone into effect where they were going to, you know, widen it out 7 feet on each side and then, you know, deepen it 7 feet.
I thought that they were actually deepening the creek by 2 or 3 feet, but But in case you haven't seen it, basically what they have is a giant crane on a barge.
Two big old barges.
Yeah, a couple of barges, and they're taking big old scoops and
earth,
putting it up on the barge, and then taking all that sand.
Did you see
and
the? Did you
stuff
see the,
offshore and dumping it?
Did you see the big giant yellow mooring balls that he had out there?
Yes.
That with,
yeah,
with the big wire that runs right under the water. Yeah, folks, y'all need to watch out for that, because some of that wire is not that deep.
Or not deep enough.
Not deep enough, right. Pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I just stayed totally away from it.
You know, speaking about dangerous, after the tournament a couple of Saturdays ago, we were heading to the ramp. Well, there was a guy on the dock, and he had like a 40-foot sea ray. Well, his buddy was hanging on to the front of the boat on the grab rail. Hold it up there, and he was standing there.
This don't sound good.
It wasn't good, because the guy that was standing there, the boat started drifting. Well, I don't know why he didn't let go. It pulled him off the dock, and he tried to hang on to that guard, the grab rail, as long as he could. And me and Zach are watching this, and all of a sudden, this guy falls into the water, and we're like, "Well, that's kind of weird," you know. So then, all of a sudden, we realized he wasn't coming up, so we motored over there real fast. I parked my boat right up on the dock, jumped out, was that held my boat, and I tried to pick him up out of the water, and he actually wound up being a pretty big guy. Couldn't get him up, so I had to like drag him down the side of the dock.
Wow.
Up onto the back of my boat, and he was so out of gas, he couldn't even talk the whole entire time.
Holy mackerel.
And about that time, some other guys.
Lucky you were there.
Yeah, because
the guy would have probably died.
Yeah, it was dangerous, man. I mean, it just caught us off guard, and it was just it's kind of surreal when you're watching something going on.
There has been so many people that have died in the St. John's River. You know, I got a buddy of mine. His dad drowned. This was like in the early 70s, you know. And, I mean, I've known a few people that have had relatives and friends that have died in the St. John's River. The current out here is ridiculous. I mean, you can be out there 1 minute, everything's fine. Next minute, you're in the water, and with the current, and you're getting sucked down. That's
what was so odd. What was so odd is the way he was just holding it, and he didn't have PFD or anything. Because he hadn't that, and he left for the trip yet.
Sure.
And he's sitting there holding, you know, holding the boat up to, you know, holding it on the dock. Well, all of a sudden, the boat starts drifting, so he starts walking on the dock with it, and he ran out of docks. What he did, and then for some reason, he grabbed a hold of it, and he just hung, and just hung there for like probably 2 minutes. He tried to pull himself up, couldn't do it. And then afterwards, he finally dropped. You know, he couldn't hold any longer.
Right, excuse me, guys. Excuse me. I got so involved.
No, he just came through.
Oh, hey, John. Oh, John, how you doing?
Fine. How you doing?
Fine, sir.
I'm just trying to get. Have you heard any updates to the progress of building the pier?
Yes, sir. I have. It's going to be about 2 years, and they're going to close the pier approximately in March or April. And then they have a 2-year project of rebuilding it.
Do you have any idea why? I mean, why does it take 2 years to do so? I'm not that I'm questioning you, but I mean,
I
they
understand.
Put a high story building up in 2 years. Never mind, build a pier.
There's two. He's got a valid point there.
Weather's part of it.
Well,
I'm sure they got weather delays built into that.
Absolutely, a lot of structural stuff that goes on that building and things.
Well, it's the weather. I mean, you know, you're not going to have calm seas every single day to be able to work in.
Right. Yeah.
But
when you get barges out there, it's
that's the reason why it's going to take a little bit longer. One, they're doing a brand new entranceway. The city of Jackson Beach is doing that. Then, hey, John, do you mind hanging on?
Sure, I'll hold on.
Okay, John, go ahead.
All right, 904-296-2692. You're listening to the Gone Fishing Radio Show in Jacksonville, Florida on Sunny 102.3 FM, website GoneFishingShow.com. That is www.GoneFishingShow.com. Y'all stand by. We're going to return here shortly, and we're going to get back to John. Hold tight. We'll be right back.
Ramona Flea Market has stuff. New stuff, used stuff, fun stuff, kid stuff, stuff to put stuff in, stuff to build stuff with. And who needs all that stuff? You! And what do you do when you have too much stuff? Sell your stuff at Ramona Flea Market. Open every Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Book your space now. Call 904-786-3532. Ramona Flea Market, Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295.
Let's get back to some fishy business with the Gone Fishing Radio Show. Gone Fishing is brought to you in part by Rick's Bait and Tackle. Rick's Bait and Tackle, serving fishermen since Moby Dick was a minnow.
What did he just say?
If you want to join in on today's show, call 296-2692. That's 296-2692. And now, here's the host of the Gone Fishing Radio Show, Rick Hale and Joe Dion.
Okay, John, get back to your question. The pier has been... I don't know what to me, but it's always been a very special place to me. And very frustrated with the city of Jacksonville. But to answer your question, this is the explanation I have gotten. First of all, they're going to start elevating the pier at about the location where the walking ends now. It's going to be a gradual elevation, not straight up and down as the St. Augustine Beach Pier is.
To what, about 8 feet higher, I think the number was?
Yeah, about 8 foot high. And it would go, that 8 foot height will continue all the way out to the end of the pier where it was originally ended at. The reason for this is that so the waves will not come over, or it will take a bigger wave to come over the top of the pier to bring it down.
Yeah, yeah. But they're not going to make any modifications since they have the opportunity to make it either wider or a bigger T at the end or anything. I mean,
or round pilings instead of square pilings, right?
No, sir. To my knowledge and for everything I have seen, the answer to that is no. This is just an opinion of mine.
And
on opinion, you can't get sued.
Well, sure. But
okay.
But
my opinion is that the city.
Hey, you can get some heat over there, I promise you.
I'll get some heat, but I can't get it too. But my opinion that there was something wrong with the construction of the pier originally, and that there's still some type of problems with that construction and litigation. I don't know.
Do you know if they'll use the existing pilings that are there? Are those going to come out? Or
they're out.
All of the pilings?
Everything that was sunk was removed already?
Now, there's some pilings up standing, but I think every piling that's still standing has something attached to it.
Yeah, but all the ones that collapsed are still underwater?
They're underwater to the south of the pier.
Okay.
And they will be left there.
Like south of the pier as far as they washed down or were drugged down there by boats?
They were washed down to the right. And when I say it's south of the pier, and we're talking 100 feet maybe.
Okay, gotcha.
A very short distance.
Well, isn't there any way that through like the federal government or something, being the ocean, that the city of Jacksonville could negotiate to get either a better pier or a stronger pier or whatever? I mean, if it's going to take them 2 years to get the thing built and engineered and all like that, I would think that would be an adequate amount of time that they could at least make the request to the federal government to add to whatever the pier is.
John, that pier was built for $3.5 million in 2001. That exact identical pier in today's money, I think the last figures I saw would cost somewhere between $6.3 and $7.1 million to build the same exact pier today.
And the federal government is the reason why it's taken so long.
Yeah.
Part of the money going into the reconstruction of the pier is FEMA money, and that's the federal government. And getting the city kind of screwed up, too, because all the projects throughout the city, all the docks, everything that was torn up during the two hurricanes was put into one big pile, and getting the city's money together was almost impossible.
Okay. Well, I heard, and I don't know whether this is true, I didn't actually see this, but a friend of mine told me that they saw on television that the improvements that they have made through, like, the landing and things like that, a certain amount of money, I won't say all of it, a certain amount of money has come back to the city of Jacksonville, which is through FEMA.
That's correct. That is correct.
So if what you're saying is true, I don't understand how, let's say if they gave them had $750,000 to do the parts they've done, why wouldn't the rest of the money that was requested be all in part of the $750,000 figure that the city of Jackson was gotten if it was proposed that way?
In my opinion, it's not downtown. It's not by the football field.
Okay.
And so we're the last ones getting money. And that's, like, I really firmly believe
that.
That
guy we hadn't heard the other day, he was interesting.
We didn't get the amount that we requested for whatever that figure was from FEMA. We only got a portion of that money.
So far, that's correct.
Okay.
But the problem is, they started doing reconstruction in areas and then received the money back from FEMA. Like, your point was very valid.
Okay.
And to me, they could have started some type of work already, and they haven't.
Okay.
Joe and I have been on the pier.
Would the person have any more information or whatever over Jacksonville Beach or something? Would he know any more other than what you basically said already?
The person who – there's two people right now and getting ready to be three. Our current city councilman is Gulliford, and he's getting ready to leave office. I believe the gentleman that has won that office uncontested, his last name is Diamond, I believe, out of the Neptune Beach City Council. He should be able to, you know, get some answers. And the other person that I rely on, I try to get some information from, but he basically works for the Park and Recreation Department, but he does work on the different dockage inside the St. John. And that is Jim Suber.
Okay.
And if you pick up the Fishing Connection, you will find the contact for Mr. Suber on my paper.
Okay.
When our paper comes out, when's it coming out? This month, next month, Joe?
We'll be out beginning the first.
February
the second. Yeah, the second. It's a weird month, so we're coming out the first and the second.
Okay. Jim Suber is a very polite, great guy. He gets a lot of criticism, but he's the one that's having to deal with the federal government and trying to plan the money and trying to pull the money to get a lot of the projects done.
Do you think the new governor will be able to help?
I'm going to be sending him a letter very soon. I'm very happy what he's done for fishing, and probably the first group that ever endorsed him. Joe and I and Vic Tyson were the officers of that organization, which was the Recreation Fishing Alliance. And that was when he ran for the House about 8 years ago. And so with this paper coming out, I'm getting ready to mail it to him and a letter and also telling him the concerns of the that we're having with the pier here.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for the information. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. John. Thank you for the call.
All right.
Okay, gentlemen, what y'all got now? And I've talked almost this whole 2 hours.
Oh, nothing. Hey. That stuff's interesting to me because I don't really know all the
backside
of it, you know, the political side of it and all that. I don't really know. Like I was telling you,
all I know is
that guy we had
in
here.
I can't go surf fishing or I can't go pier fishing.
The guy that we had in here last Friday after the show was over with.
Oh, yeah, Bill Hay.
He had a lot of interesting stuff I thought was fascinating because I didn't know any of that stuff. You know, that was just amazing to me to hear that stuff.
One of the reasons I keep begging, Larry Manyard came by the store. What a great guy Larry has been. Me and him are friends back to the 50s and 60s.
I've known Larry since I was a little kid.
Now, Larry's about 3 years younger than I am. But we were talking about how old, you know, he said it. And he says, Rick, you know, we don't have many more years left to go guiding and fishing and doing the stuff we love doing. So we get out there and enjoy it. I guess my point to that is that a lot of the guys, which Larry was a big leader in the tournament fishing that you're enjoying now.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Manyard, now he quit because he made more money in one day of charter than, you know, losing that money instead of tournament fishing.
He's like the OG. He's like the OG down to St. Augustine. You know, he's
if some people, the younger people, don't start taking over some leadership here, Yeah, Vic Tyson, he's still going to meetings. He was at the Shark meeting down in St. Augustine when they first held it. I think the second meeting's February. I'm not sure. You got people like John Nooney. He just, you know, texts us, and he goes to meetings, and he knows what's going on. And there's not just there's nobody doing it anymore.
Speaking of meetings, Rick, did you get, by any chance, I mean, you may have got one too, did you get that right there from the FWC?
No, I didn't.
The FWC is having a meeting.
I take that back.
Join us for a free day-long Florida Fishing R3 Summit, Fostering Florida's Fishing Future, on April the 16th at the Caribe Royal in Orlando. And right. It just tells you what all they're going to be talking about. And so,
yeah, I did see that.
I was going to ask you about something like this because it sounds pretty interesting. Yeah,
it's interesting and it's important. Vic, before he got involved with us on the Recreation and Fishing Alliance, he still went to all the meetings FWC had. That was one person. He was kind of the John Nooney of the fishermen as far as going to the meetings and keeping up with what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's – and Vic and I have disagreed on fishing subjects very, very rarely. And I think we disagreed one time on – I don't think he liked coaling, and I did. And but you know, after all those years, that's the only thing you can think of.
it's not bad.
That's not bad, is it? So,
you know, I talked to Tony the other day at the boat ramp, and he kind of shares the same thoughts that you're talking about now. That you know, he had a long talk with him about how the younger guys, I guess he considered me one of them. You know, he said that's why he reaches out to the. To the younger guys and the newer guys and so forth and so on. So that way everybody has the same common goal, same agenda, same ideas. And he said, because like he said, I'll be able to do this forever. And it's going to be people like you that's going to step up and kind of help, you know,
let me tell you,
make sure that our fishery is still the way it should be in 5, 10, 15 years from now, you know? So
in the Recreation Fishing Alliance, we had one person that kept bringing and pushing to us this world order. And we wouldn't listen to him. In other words, and that's what the UN went to. I mean, he was exactly right, you know, that there was a world order coming and the oceans were going to be, taken away from us or shared. Other foreigners would come in here and start fishing our waters and so on. So anyway, yeah, if you don't have a group of people staying in touch with each on what's going on in the fishing community, take your major political feelings and throw them to the side and only look at what's good for the group of people using the waters and fishing.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened to these guys on the pier, I think, is just horrible. Absolutely horrible. It was a godsend we didn't get the contract. And thank God every morning.
Mm.
And because it's just been one fiasco after another. I love Jacksonville Beach. I was a city councilman there. I was born and raised there. I love that pier. I think Charlie Latham does a great job as the mayor down there. And
well, maybe somebody local running the pier would have had things up and going by now, too.
At least put some more pressure on them.
Yeah.
And so.
Because people that have it now don't care.
Well, there's another group that's joined this guy, and but they don't seem
so
to
have. So it's more of a.
No, they're local, but they don't have an idea of what to do.
They don't know what they're doing.
No. And they're nice people, great people, nice people.
Yeah.
And they got, in my opinion, they got taken. Got took. All right, we got 15 more minutes. Anything else you would like to talk about, give us a call.
904-296-2692, 296-2692. You are listening to the Gone Fishing radio show located in Jacksonville, Florida. The radio station is Sunny 102.3. And the website is gonefishingshow.com. Stop by there. You can get the app for your phone. You can listen to us live streaming. The whole kit and caboodle. All right, y'all stand by. We'll be right back.
Florida Fab Works. If it's broke, we can weld it. If it's real broke, then we'll just fabricate you a new one. Welding takes years to master. At Florida Fab Works, they've been welding and fabricating for over two decades now. They weld anodized aluminum and stainless steel. Take a good close look at the T-top, the pulling platforms, the grab rails, and the leaning post on your vessel. If they need attention, give Florida Fab Works a call today. All new customers get 10% off any welding or fabrication. Florida Fab Works. Call 639-0365. That's 639-0365. Online at FloridaFabWorks.com.
Southern Sportsman is now open on the south side of Arlington Expressway. They stock everything an outdoorsman thrives, from firearms and fishing, archery and knives. They've got bows by Hoyt, Obsession and Prime, with an archery range for practice time. Everything's there a fisherman digs, from T. Allen rods to TBS jigs. Guns by Glock can always be found at Southern Sportsman, the best in town. Located at 8324 Arlington Expressway. Give them a call today at 903-2745. That's 903-2745.
Palm Cove Marina, the place boats call heaven. And for good reason, Palm Cove Marina prides itself by offering the largest dry storage facility coupled with the finest wet slip accommodations on Jacksonville's intracoastal waterway. Also, you'll find that Palm Cove Marina provides full marine service, a travel lift, very competitive ethanol-free fuel prices, and they even have a swimming pool. Palm Cove Marina, located on Beach Boulevard on the west side of the intracoastal waterway. Call 223-4757, online at palmcovemarina.com.
The best way to go fishing around here is to join Jacksonville Boat Club. We furnish the boats, the insurance, and take care of all the maintenance. You'll enjoy completely hassle-free valet service on the premier fleet in the Southeast. When you arrive at the dock, your boat will be ready to go. You won't spend hours getting it ready or have to wait in line at the marina or boat ramp. Just remember, we clean the boats, but you clean the fish. JacksBoatClub.com.
When it comes to those pesky bugs, leave them to Beaver. Beaver Bug Blasters, that is. Clyde T. Bunk, the owner of Beaver Bug Blasters, can stop the bugs from coming into your home by building a bug beaver dam that will keep those bugs outside where they belong. Clyde appreciates your business, and he appreciates our veterans. That's why Beaver Bug Blasters is a proud supporter of the Heroes on the Water Foundation. Remember, if your pest control is a disaster, call the masters. Beaver Bug Blasters, 904-242-2847. That's 904-242-2847.
Save a nickel, save a dime. You'll save a bundle at Jack's Bargain Cabinets and Flooring. Save big bucks on building materials, from kitchen cabinets, vanities, granite countertops, carpet, and vinyl flooring. Jack's Bargain Cabinets beats the britches off those big box stores by as much as 40%. Bring them a quote from the Fat Cats and they'll beat it like a dusty rug. Jack's Bargain Cabinets are all wood at discount prices. Go to jacksbargaincabinets.com and see the huge selection of kitchen cabinets and countertops. Get a full kitchen or bathroom upgrade in less than 2 weeks at Jack's Bargain Cabinets, 455 Cassett Avenue.
You've been wanting a reputable trolling motor shop in the Beaches area, and now it's here. Fish 307 Jacks. They're a certified Minn Kota service center with the tools and the know-how to get you back in the shallows. If you're needing cannon or walker downrigger work, Fish 307 specializes in that as well. They're conveniently located on Mayport Road, just one block north of Levy, and they're ready to get your boat off the trailer and back in the water where it belongs. Fish 307 Jacks. Give them a call today at 904-859-0966. That's 904-859-0966.
Looking for a great day of fishing or want to learn how the pros do it? Then you need to call Captain John Eggers. John's one of the leading guides in the Jacksonville area. John's won such tournaments as the Cabela's IFA Redfish Tournament and has been on many outdoor shows such as TNN and NBC Sports. He'll combine his knowledge of tournament fishing with his charter experience to ensure you have a trip of a lifetime. Give John a call at 591-1611. Again, 591-1611. Or stop by Rick's Bait and Tackle for John's information.
Let's get back to some fishy business with the Gone Fishing Radio Show. Gone Fishing is brought to you in part by Rick's Bait and Tackle. Rick's Bait and Tackle, serving fishermen since Moby Dick was a minnow.
What did he just say?
If you want to join in on today's show, call 296-2692. That's 296-2692. And now, here's the host of the Gone Fishing Radio Show, Rick Hale and Joe Dion.
Well, tomorrow morning when you get up, it's going to be chilly, so you need to have your long johns on with a heavy jacket. And then,
I think I'm going to wait till the sun comes up for an hour before I go out.
Oh, I'm definitely waiting for the sun to come up. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah, we got that Heroes
still
in the
coldest
water
part
thing,
of the day, too, right there. Just that sunrise.
Yep. And so I'm looking forward to getting out tomorrow. I'm hoping it's not going to be too windy. And
so is the boat running now?
The boat's running great.
Last Friday they were doing some touch-up things to it, so it's good to go now?
Well, I have a foot control trolling motor that I put on it, and that wasn't talking to the motor, so he had to go special order. I hope it was here today so that I can get the foot control working and get the trolling motor working completely. And then
I used to love my foot control, man.
I think I'm going to like foot control better than the hand control. I'll see.
Yeah, I had foot control my whole life until I got my Hughes, and I had the tiller for about a year, and now for the last 2 years I've had the remote control, right?
My dad had foot control.
Yeah,
he used to tell me all the time, I'm going to put my foot
on your rear end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He obviously didn't do it enough, but what else you guys got planned this weekend? You fishing this weekend, JoJo?
This weekend I am working Saturday and getting ready for a bunch of doctor's appointments on myself next week.
See, he's catching up with me in age.
Hey, I go, the important one?
I go on the 5th and have a facet block done on both sides of my neck. The lovely facet injections, whatever
they're
called.
Yeah, facet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Facet blocks, so hopefully that will help out with some neck issues.
It drives me crazy, especially this time of year when it gets real cold like this. It's been wearing me out, man, you know, big time.
Yeah.
Bad. What's wrong with you, though?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Never mind. That's right.
Fishing.
Well, I do want to say I wish my mom well wishes. My mom had emergency surgery today, and my dad just texted me a few minutes ago and said that she's already out of surgery. Oh, everything went well. So they're just kind of
prayers and good vibes sent her way, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of out of the blue, you know?
Also, Elizabeth is not feeling too good.
Sailor.
Yeah.
What's wrong with her? I don't know.
Like, keep a few prayers out for Elizabeth. She's
so I'm actually, now they got me scheduled for a sleep study.
Oh.
So apparently I had to go to St. Vincent's and be there at 8 o'clock at night and with my pajamas. I said, bring your pajamas and a comfortable pillow, and you'll leave at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, my father, he just was funny. It's not funny, but my father, he just spent 3 days at Mayo this week. He goes out there every was 3 months. Now it's gone to 6 months. And they do like that GPS scan on you and all those tests to make sure that your cancer still doesn't come back.
Yep.
And while he was at the doctor yesterday, apparently my mom had a doctor's appointment, and they found, I think, 3 or 4 kidney stones in her. And so they scheduled her today for emergency surgery to have them obliterated or lasered out. Yeah.
They blasted them?
I believe so, yeah.
Hope she's feeling better. Hope all our listeners are feeling all right.
And you know, this time of year, a lot of people are sick right now. I've talked to a lot of guys that are sick. I guess it's just the weather and sinuses and head colds and that kind of stuff. So.
And then when you reach my age and you get on Medicare, then you got to do your Medicare wellness. You got to get on a wellness. Have you ever done a wellness, Rick?
Yeah. A wellness plan where they make you they have you.
And it's a physical, more or less, I guess, is what it is.
It's called a well check, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a well check. Yeah, I have to have those, too.
I think that's what they send the police
to your house. I think I used
to
get those all the time when I got my, when I had to get my CDL renewed, you know. But that was something else.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm hoping everybody will have a good weekend fishing this week, and it's going to be chilly.
You got any fiddlers?
No. Not in this cold weather.
Fiddlers are gone again.
Yep. Getting closer to El Chupo.
Got plenty of clams.
I don't know. I'm not sure, actually.
Uh-oh. Frozen clams? Do we have
frozen
clams?
Yeah, frozen. Yeah, we do have
those. What about the sand fleas? You got them?
Frozen sand fleas.
Yeah, you got baits for the sheep's head. The sheep's head are still
blue crab,
popping around.
I don't know.
I've been seeing some
good
reports.
What deal is on blue crab?
Say, what do we got tomorrow morning, Joe? What tide do we have starting here?
7 a.m., roughly 7:15 a.m., you got a low tide at the Mayport.
Tomorrow
so you figure 8:15.
Yeah, so 8:15.
9 o'clock, roughly, at the Beach Boulevard Bridge is low tide.
Right.
So we've got 7:16 tomorrow at Sisters, low, and then 1:29 is a high. You said at Beach Boulevard, that would be?
About 9 o'clock, roughly.
8:30, 9 o'clock.
All right, hour and a half. Almost to the second. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I've been seeing some good catches coming in this week from different people.
Well, yeah, most of them outside of his tournament that he did well in, I've seen nothing but kind of small ones. I mean, they've caught fish, but nothing of any major size. One big
I saw a real big black drum.
Yeah. What was that? Big head, 60 pound, did he say?
Yeah, something like that. 50 pounder.
You're right. Yeah, that's right.
So that's a big one, yeah.
Some of the bigger drums are starting to move in, and, you know, a lot of the 6-7 pounders are around. So hopefully get out there, you know. You're not going to fish for sheep's head. You up some dead shrimp. And
what's been bad this week has been the wind. The weather's been fairly decent, but this wind. Is just, you can't fish it, man. I mean, it's just 40 miles an hour the other day and then 25 the day before that, and it's just
I think tomorrow's supposed to be 5 to 10.
Yeah, it's supposed to be so. Nice.
Tomorrow's supposed to be the first day of slack wind and probably about 2 weeks, really.
Hopefully the fish will want to be chewing.
Yeah, because even last Saturday it was nice until about 9 o'clock, and after 9 o'clock, I mean, it just started a gale.
Yeah,
but you know.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Gone Fishing Show. We've really enjoyed it. I think this is a good show today. I really have enjoyed the show.
Went by quick, didn't it?
Yeah. Next week we have scheduled Craig Van Brocklin
of the Premier Trout Tournament,
and Trina Polkey will be in studio next week,
and she's with the El Cheapo.
And the following week we have a surprise set up, so
we'll
see what happens. Yeah. Okay. We'll work on it.
We're working on that.
All right, please, everybody be safe. Wear them PFDs. Dress warm. Have plenty of ice in the cooler.
And have
and
a radio.
Please be careful.
Be safe out there.
See y'all next week on the Gone Fishing Show. Good day.
Trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more. To myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
This is the spark that starts it. This is the oak that smokes it. These are the hands that pull it. This is the knife that slices it. This is our original slow-smoked pork. And Sonny's Barbecue is the only place you'll find it. Come get an original pork plate at Sonny's with pulled or sliced pork and either more pork, ribs, or ribs and smoked wings, plus a side and bread starting at $8.99. Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since '68.